Got an email from somebody, I won't say who, won't say, you know, where and all that. And it was a rather disappointing email, and the reason I'm comfortable sharing this with you is because in that email, to paraphrase it, that person no longer wants to hear anything from this ministry ever again. And this has been somebody who has been receiving from this ministry for quite some time. In fact, this was somebody who at one time felt as though, and again, let me paraphrase, that this ministry was a lifeline for them. I'm not saying this to be mean to this person. I'm saying this because through it, God is helping me see more that I'll be sharing here tonight. One of the things that this person shared was that they've moved on to other teachers. So I replied back and asked, who are these teachers? Because I might be interested in listening as well. And I meant that, seriously. I meant that. So the person replied and gave me two names. And I went online and began taking a look at these two individuals, what they teach. One I researched more than the other. And man, I got to tell you, it was slick. And I mean slick as oil on ice. It was slick. And I'm reading this, and the whole time my spirit is feeling like a square peg being trying to force into a round hole. And a lot of scripture was used. Well, yeah, I'll just say a lot. Not really. It wasn't a lot, but scripture was used. And I kept reading, and I was having a very difficult time grasping what was really being said. But everything that was being said seemed to make sense. Does that make sense? Good. Because it's kind of hard to explain. In other words, the sentences and the paragraphs were coherent. But I was trying to grasp what is really being said. And I'm praying, God, help me see through this. Because I know there's something not right. And I kept reading, and it began to become very clear. Now, I do know this, and I admit it publicly. There are a lot of people who are smarter than I, and I know that. And there are better teachers. I know that too, because I like to listen to them. There are people who understand the Scriptures better than I. And I like to listen to the people who really understand them better, because I learn from them. But the one thing I do know is this. As long as I keep teaching you to pray in the Spirit, to prayer, fasting, worship, and the Word, as long as I keep teaching those things to you, I cannot be wrong. Now that sounds arrogant, but the Apostle Paul himself at times was basically saying, I'm right and these other people are wrong. And I know this, if I keep teaching you to do those things, I can't. That doesn't mean I can't maybe say something wrong, something else wrong. In other words, might misstate something or whatever. But as far as teaching you those things, prayer, fasting, worship, and the Word, and teaching you that those things are what will cause you to grow and mature spiritually, I cannot be wrong. Any other preacher who teaches those things is teaching you truth. And I can't vouch for anything else they say, but generally, if they're teaching those things, they're probably going to be right on a whole lot of other stuff too. Now, it can be that when you hear things for the first time that contradict what you've always believed, there can be an adjustment on the inside that you have to go through, because you've always believed it one way. Then all of a sudden you hear something and you may think, now what? But if you have a teachable heart, and that's a key, if you have a teachable heart and you are hungry for truth, you will begin to grab a hold of the truth, and the other stuff where you were wrong will be removed. Now, I've been through that. I've been through that a lot. There have been things in Scripture that I have believed. It wasn't heresy, but it was wrong. It was just didn't clearly understand what was being said. And a lot of that has to do with taking Scripture out of context, not leaving it in order, and listening to people who preached out of context, and just embracing what they taught. And I've spoken with others about this, not this event that I mentioned, just this whole concept of why is it that some people just seem to really get a hold of this and other people don't? Because, you know, when you first get born again, everybody's at the same starting line. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what your background. It doesn't matter what kind of church you were in or no church, whatever. The moment you accept Jesus Christ, everybody is at the same starting line. Listen to this. Everybody is 100% equal in their spiritual level. The moment you get born again, we're all at the same point. But it's what you do beyond that. And it's how you approach your walk in Christ. In some cases, we're in churches which teach some truth, but then a lot of tradition and some things that aren't wrong. So a lot of that stuff gets built up on the inside. But let's kind of set that concept aside for a moment. And let's think in terms of churches that strongly emphasize prayer, specifically praying in tongues, fasting, worship, especially private worship, and the Word, which would be meditation in the Word, studying the Word, line upon line, precept upon precept, confessing the Word, and so on. Let's talk about those kind of churches. Well, for one thing, I haven't found a whole lot of them. Now, that doesn't mean they don't exist. But I have asked other pastors who are walking this same prayer, fasting, worship, and the Word path, ask them, do you know of a lot of other churches doing this? And the answer I keep getting is no. And when I listen to people who attend other churches, churches that maybe we would think are very good, and maybe they are good churches, but when I listen to folks talk about their church, the things they believe, just listen to them. It isn't long before I can figure out there's not a strong emphasis on prayer, fasting, worship, and the Word. And it doesn't mean that the church is... See, you can have a church that's not teaching any heresy, but the leadership does not understand about prayer, fasting, worship, and the Word. So they could be teaching 100% truth at the level where they're walking. They just don't understand about the other. I have not been able to find a lot of churches that teach this. And when there are folks that hear me teach, or maybe they'll hear Gary Carpenter or Dave Roberson, what have you, just other Bronx, just when they hear other people, hear those of us teaching these things, and then they respond, my gosh, I've never heard these things before. Why, this is incredible. When I get emails from people who have found our website and begin listening to the sermons, and they contact me and they tell me, you know, we never heard these things in our church. And it's not that they're bad-mouthing their church. They're just saying, you know, I feel like I've entered into a whole new realm with God and all this. That tells me that the church they're attending is not focusing on these things. When I have pastors who would want me to come into their church and teach about these things, my question is, why aren't you teaching these things to your people? You know, you're the shepherd. These are the people of you know, you're the steward of this sheepfold. Why aren't you teaching them this? Take the teachings. You know, whatever I have on these subjects, listen to them. Listen. Make them your own. And then deliver them to the sheep. They're going to hear their shepherd's voice, not the chief shepherd, but you know their shepherd's voice. They're going to hear him. They're going to be in his pasture, hearing his voice. And it's going to be easier for them to receive it. So I wonder, you know, why aren't you doing this? You need to be the one doing it. But you know, you have to use a lot of wisdom when you are talking with people. Well, this event that I have described, this person who doesn't want to hear anything from us ever again, and those were not the words used, I'm condensing it. You know, when you're told, take me off all mailing lists, I mean, that's pretty much, that pretty much tells you, don't want to hear from you guys again. You know, I'm thinking about that, and, you know, God's continually giving me a clearer understanding of what is happening here in the body of Christ. And the one thing I can tell you is this. We've never, ever been in this position in history. In the 2,000 years of Christianity, we have never been in this circumstance. We are so close to not only earthly disaster like we've never seen, natural disasters, the wars, rumors of wars. My goodness, you look at what is happening. You know, over in Kenya, what happened in that mall? You know, that mall basically it has been devastated. Three of the four has collapsed because the terrorists set things on fire. It's a mess over there. And then the bombings in Pakistan and so forth. I'm getting emails from people who are from these areas. We were just, you know, we were over in Nairobi. And anyway, we're closer now than we've ever been to circumstances in this world confounding the wisdom of the wise, to where leaders of nations are honestly not going to know what to do, and they're going to make decisions based on what they think is the right thing to do. Now, sometimes they might get it right, and other times, they're going to make some massive mistakes. You know, already, in fact, in April of 2012, there was a prophecy. I think it was a Sunday morning. There was a prophecy. It was only about a paragraph long, where God said that Syria was collapsing. Now that was over a year, almost a year and a half ago that happened. Now you look at what's happening over in Syria. And that prophecy came forth back then. And what has not been highly publicized is that there are nations sending in their military forces to the Middle East right now. But it's not in the headlines. But it is happening. I happen to see something on that. It's happening. And China has begun to get involved with this. But it's not in the headlines. But it's happening. In other words, Scripture is coming to pass. But in the body of Christ, we're seeing things happen that I was just totally unprepared for. Completely unprepared. I did not think that, you know, when the Bible talks about there'll be a falling away, that falling away is about Christians not leaving church, but falling away from truth. And I'm not going to teach on that passage tonight. It's happening in a way that I did not think was going to take place. I want you to look in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. See, when somebody begins teaching that when Jesus completed his work here on earth, went to the cross, died, rose from the dead, ascended back to the Father, that everybody has God's life in them, they just have to discover it in them. Another term for that is universalism. Everybody's saved. They just don't know it. So the lost out there, no matter who they are, no matter where they are, this teaching tells them everybody has God's life in them. That is, you must be born again. Well, they talk about the born again life. No, the born again experience was How can I say this? It makes sense. I can't. Anyway, it took place after Jesus completed his work on earth. Therefore, now the God life is available to everybody, and we have it because of what Jesus did. He died for all mankind. What about the whosoever shall call upon him? You know, well, I don't want to talk about those things. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be... They don't want to talk about those things either. And they can manipulate Scripture to where, I'm telling you right now, if you don't know what you're reading, you are going to be deceived. Listen to me closely. Every single one of you in this room, if you don't know what you're reading and you don't understand, those of you watching and listening, listen to this. I'm telling you now, you are going to be deceived and you're going to walk away. Now, I'm going to show this to you in Scripture. It is not a maybe. It will happen if you don't guard your heart. It's going to happen. That is how subtle this deception is in the body of Christ now. It exists now. In Ephesians chapter 4, look here in verse 14. It says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Now see, years ago, we're not going to read this whole passage, just one verse want to see this. When I would read this years ago, my concept of this was so elementary, and I honestly did not understand. Verse 14 was talking about people in churches. Churches that will stand up and tell you that Jesus is the Son of God. That Jesus died on the cross for your sins. That Jesus rose on the third day. That Jesus ascended to the Father. That Jesus is seated on the right hand of God. They will tell you these things. I had this overly simplistic concept that this had to do with people that were going to tell you, Jesus wasn't the Son of God. I mean, weird stuff. Well, I mean, this other stuff is weird stuff. But I mean, it was going to be so blatantly obvious. But when you look at this, that we henceforth be no more children. Okay, what kind of children? Children of God. This is not talking about mature sons and daughters. This children is talking about inexperienced, immature, little children running around. You know, the moon is made of green cheese. Well, they're going to believe that. You know, ho, 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 Santa Claus. They're going to believe that. I mean, whatever you tell them, tooth fairy, everything, they're going to believe that. Children. And it says these children tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Meaning, every time somebody stands up, and with the cunning craftiness, that's talking about men, women who are intelligent, who are smart, who, quote, know the Bible, and could quote much Scripture to you, and are very slick, very good, very polished in their delivery, and when they teach you, their teaching can come across as a type of line upon line, precept upon precept. Well, it is, but it's deception. These are the people who are standing up in these churches, whether they're the pastor or the guest preacher, and they are delivering these doctrines in the church. And they are doctrines that they don't tell people you have to go to church, but they're going to emphasize the need to be in church. In other words, it's going to sound so much like what truth teaches. And they're going to say, well, you need to be in church, you need to be here, so on and so forth. And it says, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. They're just waiting. They're just waiting. And they're very convincing in what they do. Now notice it's the children, those who are spiritually immature, who are the ones who are being deceived. The ones who are being tossed to and fro. And he says, that we have to, and he continues in verses 15 and 16, talking about growing up into Christ. Well, what's happening is, you can have people in the body of Christ that have large ministries. Well, remember the other day, I shared one with you about how that there's a preacher who is teaching that when God created all the animals, he did not know what he had created until Adam came along and named them. And it was only after Adam named them that God knew what they were. I watched it. I heard it. And I shook my head. And I'm thinking, you ought to know better than this. And I did not name the person publicly, but again, if you want to know who that was, come up to me after the service and I'll tell you. Because you can go watch it too. It's recorded online. Just odd. Well, now see, this person is a person of stature, a person of renown, a person who is very popular. So now a lot of people are listening to that. And it's like, wow, God didn't know that. Well, God didn't know what he made. Can you imagine that? And then, you know, they'll run around and tell all their friends, did you know that God didn't know what he made until Adam came along and named it? And their friends are going to say, what? What are you talking about? Then they're going to open up and they're going to read the part that this preacher read about, and God took the animals to Adam and whatever he named them, that's what they were. And that's how this fellow proved that God didn't know what he made. I don't know, you know, to me, I would think God knew what he was making when he made it. He didn't just like, you know, put something together and say, well, what's that? And Jesus say, I don't know, man, you better take it to Adam and find out. Adam, wherefore art thou? Adam, got another animal to name. That one's a skunk. Oh, that explains it. That's just out there. But see, that's what this is describing. Every wind of doctrine. Every wind of doctrine. Whatever blows in today. Whatever blows in next week. And listen, I'm telling you right now, Satan has got a big container full of doctrines. And he releases them line upon line, precept, because every false doctrine that he's releasing is laying a foundation for the next false doctrine and the next false doctrine to pull people further and further and further away from the truth. And so he says, listen, you've got to do something about this. Verse 14, you've got to go beyond this. Well, again, prayer, fasting, worship, and the Word will take you beyond this. Look over in 1 John and you're going to see something similar. 1 John chapter 2, and we'll just jump in this. John is writing things to warn the Christians. And he says in verse 26, these things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. Now this is very similar to what Jesus said in John 14 and John 16 concerning the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And he is speaking specifically here of the anointing that we do receive from the Holy Spirit. And he says, leading up to this, these two verses that we just read, he was saying there are people who are out there saying that they're preaching and teaching things that we have approved of, and we have not sent them forth from us. Because if we had truly sent them forth from us, they would have stayed with the teachings that we have. But they haven't. They've departed. In other words, these guys were spending time with the apostles. Think about this. Whatever apostles were alive at the time that these preachers, I mean, these guys were hanging around the folks that knew and understood truth. And they heard it. It wasn't that they didn't know it or were not exposed to it. They heard it. And they began separating themselves. The reason is because they heard but did not apply. But they said they applied. And they gave the impression of spiritual maturity. Because they could say just enough about God, Scripture, Jesus, etc. to impress people, to make people think these guys know what they're talking about. And he says, now let me just kind of paraphrase. When you got filled with the Holy Spirit brought with him an anointing. That anointing abides within. That anointing is truth. Now, what does that tell you? Well, it tells us this. When we get filled with the Holy Spirit, that anointing of truth is in there. Now, if we do what's necessary to interact with that anointing of truth, do you know what's going to happen? That anointing of truth is going to begin to illuminate that which is wrong. And it will begin working in us to protect us, to guard us against those things which are working to lead us astray. Now look in 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul is writing to Timothy, and basically what he's telling him is, man, you need to stand strong in what you've been taught. You can read the whole book of 2 Timothy, you'll pick this up. And he says in verse 3, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." So he's telling you right here, the day is coming when people who have been exposed to truth are going to begin turning away from this truth. He says they're going to heap to themselves teachers. They have itching ears. Itching ears for what? They want to hear what they want to hear. They want to hear what makes intellectual sense to them. They want to hear what pleases them and makes them feel good about themselves. They want to hear what they interpret as being truth. They want to hear what they can rationalize with their mind as being the true Word of God. And he says, they'll turn their ears away from the truth. That is exactly what has happened with what I shared with you at the beginning of this message. Somebody has been listening to these preachers. And not just one sermon. They have been, I can tell you what's happened. I can tell you exactly what's happened. They've been listening to me, and maybe Dave Roberson, maybe Gary Carpenter, maybe Bronk, and whoever else. They've been listening to us for a period of time. Not just a couple of weeks. For a period of time. Years. 2, 3, 4 years, 5, I don't know. Listening to us. But then, somehow, some way, they heard this other person. They begin listening to this other person. And as they listen to this other person, they begin listening to another person. Maybe somebody that new person referenced. So they begin shifting. They had been listening to us, but now they begin listening more and more and more to these others. To the point to where they finally say, I don't want to hear from you ever again. Okay, well, my question is this. What did I teach you that was wrong? I've taught you spend time in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. I've taught you to worship. I've taught you about fasting. I've taught you about the Word. Where have I missed it in teaching those things to you? Maybe you don't like my style of delivery. Well, I understand that. Everybody's different. Maybe you don't like the sound of my voice. I understand that. Everybody's different. But as far as what I have taught concerning these things, and how I have taught these things line upon line and shown you from Scripture that these are the things that work to keep us established in our relationship with God, where have I missed it? Well, bottom line is this, I haven't missed it. But this person and others just like this person have now begun scratching the itching ears with these teachings over here and are separating themselves from the truth. You say, well, Brother Martin, I don't understand this. I mean, if they've been listening to you guys for years, you know, how could they do that? Well, it's very simple. I can explain it. Number one, they're either not doing what they're hearing, or, show you the answer over in 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. They're either not doing it, or they have seared their conscience to the work God is trying to do in them. And that's very possible. See, many years ago, I thought, well, if you pray in tongues long enough, you're going to change no matter what. And God began showing me that's true only if you want the change. Because you can pray in the Spirit and sear your conscience to what the Holy Spirit is trying to do. Now, that almost sounds like an impossibility. It's not. Because I've witnessed it. I've seen it happen to people in this church.
Are they here tonight?
I ain't answering yay or nay. I've seen it happen firsthand at this church. I've seen it happen in other people to where they... And see, used to, I wondered, are you really praying the way you say you are? But you can sear your conscience. You can totally sear your conscience to what God's trying to do on the inside of you. And you won't change a lick. You have to want to change. You have to desire it. You have to hunger for it. You have to want it more than anything. I want to be like you, Jesus, no matter what. I want to be your love. I want to be the child of God you know I can be. And you have to pursue after it. Now, if you have that kind of an attitude and that kind of a heart, and you do these things, the prayer, fasting, worship, and the Word, the change is going to come. Now, it may be rough at times, because it requires a lot of cutting away of stuff that, you know, we kind of wanted to hold on to. But it will come. But when you do it for the sake of saying, I'm doing it, and at the same time you begin feeding yourself with all this wrong stuff, the fact that, well, yeah, I worship God. Well, yeah, you know, I pray in the Spirit. I believe in that. Yeah, yeah. But, you know, you guys, you're kind of off now because, why, everybody has God's life in them. They just have to discover it. It's like, no, that's not true. But they believe it. They didn't believe that years ago. But see, now they think they've come to this new revelation. Now see, there would be people in here who would hear this message so far and they would say, oh, boy, bless God. I'll guarantee you now, I will never be like that. I'll never buy into any of that stuff. I've known of people who have, let me just paraphrase it, I'll never turn my back on these truths. And they have. Walked away from them. Now here's the kicker. It's not about not loving God. They still love God. They still love God. And they'll still tell people about Jesus Christ. They would lay their lives down for Him. Let me give you an example. You remember what the Apostle Paul, well, when he was Saul, remember what he was doing? He gave his approval for the stoning of Stephen. And then he went around arresting Christians, Jews that professed Jesus, had them tortured and killed and everything else. Why did he do that? Well, it wasn't because he didn't love God. It was because he loved God. Now, we read this and we think, well, that doesn't make any sense. You know, if you love God, you don't do those things. He thought that these Jews preaching Jesus were leading other Jews straight to hell. What he didn't know was he was leading people straight to hell by denying Jesus. And look over in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 6. And take a look at this. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4, it says, "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put Him to an open shame. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. Verses 7 and 8, he's using a natural illustration to tell you what's going to happen to the people, verses 4 through 6. The ones that have made a decision that fall away, that is a decision to turn away. Now, what are they turning away from? They're turning away from Jesus Christ as the source of salvation and going back to believing that the works of the law are what saves them. But the principle is the same for anybody. See, you don't have to go back to the works of the law to qualify for this. Because the moment you start saying things like, 2,000 years ago, Jesus died on the cross. From that day forward, everybody has God's life in them. You're now saying they don't have to profess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. They already have God's life in them. So you are literally, what you're doing is, you're denying the whole concept of the shed blood of Jesus and faith in Him for salvation. But they don't think of it that way. Because they still say, Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus died on the cross. Jesus shed His blood. They still teach those things. But then they turn right around and say, but everybody has God's life in them already. You just need to learn to explore that inner life. To discover that inner life. And I'm telling you, it is slick. See, Satan's not so stupid. He's going to just come into a church and say, okay, now look, I know you guys have been believing in Jesus, but boy, that's stupid. We're all going to sacrifice goats today. Well, who's going to believe that? I mean, after a period of time of weird teaching, you might. But if I can come in here and I can begin teaching things to you that sound so good and so right, and you are still a child in Christ to where you don't catch on, I guarantee you, you're going to be led astray. Guarantee it. See, it's not a maybe. It is a definite. Look at Matthew 24. Jesus said so. Matthew chapter 24. You know, in verses 3 through 5, the disciples came to Jesus and they asked, or the, verse 3 and 4, they said, we want to know what are the signs of the end of the world. End of the world. The end of the world. Paul's talking about, you know, in the latter days, in the last times. Jesus, what's a sign of the end of the world and your return? And first thing he says is, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Now that phrase saying, I am Christ, that's not simply a matter, I am Jesus. It's a matter, I am sent of Christ. I am of Jesus Christ. I'm teaching what he wants me to teach. In verse 11, he says, and many false prophets shall rise and deceive many. In verse 24, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. They're going to. It's going to happen. And then in verse 12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. The iniquity he's talking about is the love people... All right, verse 11, the false prophets are deceiving people. That leads to iniquity abounding. What iniquity? Iniquity in the church. Not so much, I mean, in the world too, but in the church. Why? Because if I tell you that the grace of God is sufficient to deal with all of your sins, past, present, and future, you don't have to worry about what you do. It's already taken care of. Am I not giving you a license to commit sin? Even though I don't say it that way. Even though I may stand up and tell you, now I'm not telling you to go out and sin, but to the children, they hear that. And they think, well, then it's okay. Iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. What love? Love of God. Let me tell you something. The more in love with God that you are, the less you're going to sin. The more in love with God that you are, the more your conscience is going to be attuned to conviction. And you're not going to do all that stuff. And he says, but, verse 13, he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Endure what? Endure all of the false teachings that are coming forth. Not simply a matter of the troubles and trials of the world, the tribulations of the world, the wars, rumors and wars, earthquakes and all this other. It's enduring all this wrong teaching, holding on to the truth and not letting go. And then he says, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. So we have to endure to the end. Now, here's the thing. The false prophets are going to be preaching and deceiving many at the same time the kingdom truth is being delivered. Side by side, this stuff is going on. It's happening right now. Well, see, again, in my ignorance, I thought it would be blatantly obvious. But it's not blatantly obvious. Because a lot of these churches, they're going to have praise and worship teams that when they begin praising and worshiping God, their focus is on Jesus. And you can go in and think, man, this is incredible praise and worship. Boy, I wish we had singers and musicians like what these guys have. This is just tremendous. Man, the presence of God is so incredible, and it probably is. Because, see, God will inhabit the praises. But it doesn't mean He gives His stamp of approval on everything that happens in the church. So the praise and worship can be wonderful. Then the preacher stands up and starts delivering some weirdo teaching that qualifies for the false prophet stuff. And the church down the street is teaching kingdom truth. Their praise and worship wasn't as great. But he's teaching kingdom truth. It is going to be happening all the way to the end. The false prophet teachings and the kingdom truth side by side all the way to the end. That's why Jesus said, those of you that endure to the end, you shall be saved. Meaning those that give heed to the false prophets, they're going to be burned up, like he says, back over there in Hebrews. They are the briars and the thorns. And they're going to be burned up. And see, again, there are a lot of people that will teach that's impossible. No, it's what I used to think. Why, once you're born again, there's no way. Well, not according to what I'm seeing here. He's staying right here. You know, hey, if you don't watch out, you could fall away. Why would these people fall away? They would fall away because there would be people coming in telling them, this Jesus is not the real Messiah. If you don't do the works of the law for your salvation, you're going to hell. They're not telling people to turn their backs on God. They're not telling people stop loving God, stop serving God. They're saying you're not saved. You're not going to heaven unless you do this over here. The blood of Jesus is not the real blood. He's not the real Messiah. So these people, they're like, oh my goodness, well, I mean, these guys have the long beards, they have the robes, they've got the titles, they've got the degrees. I guess they know what they're talking about. They can quote Law and the Prophets, just one right after the other. Oh, fellas, I'm sorry. You know, can I come back into your church? Yes, come back in. Worship God with us. And they're worshiping the real God. That's the kicker. Same thing today. Same thing today. It's happening. Look in... Keep your finger here in the New Testament and look over in Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. And we're going to take a look at one verse. It's a warning. And boy, is it ever appropriate for us today. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, it says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Now what this means is, we have the responsibility to guard our own... That word keep, I mean literally, it's like you get militaristic and you protect your heart. Because out of your heart flow the matters of life. What life? Well, obviously God's talking primarily of eternal life. And this literally is a prophecy for what's happening today. He's telling you, keep your heart, guard it, protect it, because out of it come the issues of life. So what God is telling you is that you're the one that has to do this. Now, I will help you. And by the ministry of the Holy Spirit, I will help you with that anointing of truth that flows from Him. But you're the one that needs to do this. You're the one. You have to keep your heart. I cannot protect you. If you make a decision to open yourself up to wrong teaching and wrong doctrine, I cannot guard you, no matter how much I want to, because it's your life just like it was Adam's. He listened to false doctrine that was draped in my word, but he fell for it. The same thing's happening today. And God is saying, you must keep your heart. Well, how do I keep my heart? Prayer, fasting, worship, and the word. But I have to have a hunger for the change that those things produce in me. I have to want this change. See, I shared before how that we might as well just be honest with God and honest with ourselves. Father, I am deceivable. I could be deceived. Well, and we can. I mean, Jesus warned you about that. Worst thing we can do is say, well, that ain't me. The devil's saying, oh yeah? Thank you for that. Because that pride is opening the door for deception. What we have to do is humble ourselves and say, you know what, that could be me. That I am deceivable. I'm not deity, I am deceivable. Therefore, I have to keep my heart. I have to guard it with all diligence. I have to do this. And instead of just going through the motions so that I can say, well, yeah, sure, I get into the Word of God. Well, yeah, I worship, I do these things. Instead of just going through the motions, when I'm doing these things, go in with an attitude of, God, this is my life. Meaning, I'm protecting my life. Because if I don't guard myself, I could end up in the lake of fire for all eternity. I don't want to be deceived. I don't want to be pulled in by people that are telling me, oh, no, no, don't deny Jesus. No, 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 he's the Son of God. But then throw all this other stuff in there. And that is exactly what Paul was warning about, the seducing spirits, doctrines of devils. See, turning away from truth doesn't mean leaving the church. It just means turning away from truth. You can still be in the church. Well, see, again, that's where I was ignorant. Because years ago I read and I thought, boy, man, with people turning away from truth, they're going to be out there walking the streets, leaving, never going back to church, doing the bars and the drugs and everything else. And God, yeah, that could happen. But it's like God is saying, no, Jim, you need to look at this a little bit harder and understand what I'm trying to get across to you. I'm talking primarily about people who are still going to church. You know, I would rather be in a church that tells me tongues are of the devil, but also tells me it's the blood of Jesus and no other way. I would rather be in a church like that, a church that tells me, don't you get into this greasy grace stuff. You do have to repent for your sin. If you mess up, you better repent. Fall on your knees and repent before God. God will not tolerate sin. He says we're to be holy before. I'd rather be in a church that teaches me those things, even if they don't teach me about praying in tongues. At least they're going to put the fear of God in me. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you know where so much of this stuff is going on? These wrong doctrines? In the churches that teach the gifts. See, I shared with you years ago, if Satan can get all kinds of flakiness in those churches, that's where people are the most gullible. Sadly. But look at the Corinthians. What a messed up bunch. And boy, they came behind in no gifts. The gifts were in operation there, but that was the most messed up church in the whole Bible. You know, Galatians was pretty close. But those people there in Corinthians were so messed up. Now look in Philippians chapter 2, and we'll close with this verse. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now, many people could take this and say, now you see there, God's working in you continually to will and to do of his good pleasure. All you have to do is go along for the ride. And, you know, he's going to get you to the place where he wants you. That's not true. The verse above says, I have to work out my own salvation. Well, which is it? Well, look at it, verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Well, which is it? Am I supposed to work out my own salvation, or is it God that's working in me to will and to do of his good pleasure? Sounds like a contradiction. No. As I am doing, verse 12, prayer, fasting, worship, and the word, to keep it simple, that enables God to do, verse 13. As I am doing my part, with a teachable heart, an open heart, a humble heart, then that enables God to do his part, which is to work in me to will and to do of his good pleasure. Guys, it's a process. Doesn't happen overnight. It's a process. Now, I don't think it is possible for me to impress upon those of you here, those of you watching, and those of you listening, how serious this is. One of the things that I'm detecting, and I'm not saying from any one person, just a general statement, is that people aren't taking this seriously. You know, when I get an email from somebody who I thought was making progress, somebody I thought was on this wagon train with us, you understand what I mean? And all of a sudden I'm hearing, back off, leave me alone, don't want to hear from me anymore. Then I realize, you know what? This person hasn't been doing what they were supposed to do, or they've seared their conscience to what God's been trying to do in them, and now they've embraced something. And I'm telling you right now, based on what I read about what this person's listening to, this is taking them in the direction of accepting doctrine that ultimately is going to lead them away from Jesus Christ. It hasn't happened yet. But see, that's the plan of the devil. One step at a time. And that's the direction this person is heading. And if we don't take this seriously to guard our hearts, there's one thing. Out of the prayer, fasting, worship, and the Word, one of those releases the anointing of truth. And that's praying in tongues. Now that doesn't mean that getting into the Word of God doesn't carry with it an anointing of truth. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that worship doesn't place you in an atmosphere of God's purity and truth. And I'm not saying that either. What I'm saying is, as you pray in tongues, you're interacting with the Holy Spirit. You're interacting with Him in a way that you're not when you do the other three. Therefore, if you were going to say, all right, I'm only going to do one of the four, and don't bug me about it, which one do you think I should do? I'm going to tell you, pray in tongues. And to do it with an open heart, and to tell God, and be honest with God. Just tell Him, say, you know what? I ain't doing this fasting thing, And I don't feel like reading my Bible, And this worship stuff, I don't like music. But I am going to pray in tongues. And I open my heart and mind to You. I don't want to be led astray. I want to stay on the path of truth. I want to conform to Your image. I want to be everything You desire. And I am going to pray in tongues. And it's like God is saying, okay, if you're really that open in your heart and mind, you're really that teachable, and all you're going to do is pray in tongues, then let her rip. Because over time, you will change in your attitude about fasting and worship and meditation in the Word. All I need is a willing, open heart. You start praying, and the change will begin to come. And guys, there are people in this church, there are people who have left this church and have been led astray. And they've been taken away from these core truths. And don't come and ask me, well, who was it? I will not be telling you. But they have. And I'm sharing this tonight because it is so serious and we just don't realize it. Don't anybody get offended at what I'm getting ready to say. But you know, on packs of cigarettes, I mean, it tells you right there, smoking cigarettes will kill you. And people buy the packs of cigarettes, read the warning, and boom, light up. It's like I heard a guy say one time, hamsters are like cigarettes. They're both safe until you light them and put them in your mouth. I'm thinking, what? It was just one of those stupid things that makes you think, dude, what? Who would be so stupid as to light a hamster and put it in her mouth? Who would be so stupid as to light a cigarette? You follow the logic? Okay, now I'm not trying to insult anybody. The warnings on cigarettes are right there. They're very clear. Now listen, if you smoke, God will deliver you from it. I mean, your deliverance will manifest. Don't get offended at me. Please don't. I'm not trying to drag you down. You're dragging... Never mind. I'm just using that as an illustration. And a lot of people don't take it seriously. When I was working at Kettering Hospital, I went in a room one time to get a guy to take him down for some x-rays. And this guy had major surgery, all kinds of cancer, emphysema, and so forth. They had to put a trachea in here. And this is back when smoking was permitted in hospitals. And I walked in the room, and that guy's smoking through his trachea. Yeah. Smoke coming out. And I'm thinking, good glory. You got to be joking me, man. Yeah. Girl. All right. Somebody hasn't learned their lesson yet. Have you not figured out that's why you're here? All right. We have tons of warnings here in Scripture. Now look, maybe you don't like the way I teach this, but take it from God's Word. And He cannot lie. And He's giving us these warnings in His Word. You better guard yourself, because if you don't, you could end up missing out for all eternity. It's that slick and it's that serious. Never take for granted the time that you have to spend with God to change on the inside. So be encouraged with this tonight. And take it seriously. And don't deny these things. And begin to spend time with God with an open, teachable heart, seeking for change and spiritual growth.